Open your Bibles, please, this morning in the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Sixth chapter of the book of Exodus, and commencing to read at verse number 1 down to verse 13. Exodus chapter 6, verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give to it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can say this morning, All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Shall I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? We thank Thee, O God, for Thy hand upon us. We can look back over our lives and we can say, Lord, Thou hast been so gracious and Thou hast been so good to Your redeemed people. I pray this morning, Lord, that You'll bless us and encourage us, even as we open Thy Word. And we thank Thee that Thou hast promised us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Help us not to doubt You today, but help us, Lord, to believe You with all our hearts. May we be able to say, Lord, I believe. And, O God, help Thou mine unbelief. And if there's a shred of unbelief in our hearts today, Lord, would You take it away? And give us faith to believe Thee, no matter what the cost. Be with us now in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We come to the sixth chapter in our Bible study in the life of Moses, the sixth chapter of the book of Exodus. And I believe that when you come to this sixth chapter, we come to a critical juncture, we come to a critical moment in the life of Moses. Remember, as we think back in the fifth chapter, remember that the children of Israel, they had rejected Moses because of the affliction that was put upon them by Pharaoh and by the Egyptians. Pharaoh also has refused the word that God has spoken through Moses, and he challenged, Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? But in the midst of his despair, In the midst of this critical moment, Moses is going to find that God remains faithful. When it seems that everything and every circumstance and everyone seems to be against him. Notice the opening word in chapter number 6, verse number 1. Then, at a time when things looked bleakest, at a time when everything seemed to have gone disastrous, when it seemed as if that he was out of favor with the children of Israel, he was out of favor with Pharaoh, it says, then the Lord said unto Moses. And he was going to prove that in the midst of the circumstances of life, that God was faithful and that God would bring him through. Remember the words that we read this morning in Romans chapter 8? If God be for us, and the word is not doubting, it is not a question, it is simply, since God be for us, who can be against us? And we also read this morning that we are more than conquerors. We are to be more than conquerors in all these things, all the circumstances. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all of these things, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so therefore, brethren and sisters, as you go out into this week, you remember this, since God be for you, who can be against you? You're on the victory side. You're not fighting for the victory. Praise God, you're fighting from the victory ground, because the victory ground is the ground that Christ has already purchased for you and already won for you at the cross of Calvary, where he shed his precious blood for the redemption of your soul. And so the support of the Lord, even though Pharaoh was against him, even though the children of Israel had now turned and mighty elders just bypassed and Moses, and they walked into the presence of Pharaoh, and they bypassed God's servant, and then when they didn't get their way with Pharaoh, they came out and they turned on God's child, and they accused him falsely. There he had to learn that he was standing alone. But praise God, one with the Lord is still a majority. And you take your stand for God, friend, and be willing to realize that your victory and the sufficiency of your victory is in Christ, not in something that you or I can do. I want us to look at, note first of all, in verse number 1, let's notice the person here. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses. And then we go on, and God says, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. And we see here, or rather the power here, it is the power of God. Notice in the rest of the verse, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. Now it seemed to be that everything was against that statement. He wasn't letting them go. But notice what it says, God speaking to Moses, and it says, with a strong hand shall he let them go. As far as God was concerned, there's not a doubt about this. If Pharaoh was going to let the children of Israel go, as far as God was concerned, it was done. It says, now shalt thou see. It's time for the mighty victory that's going to be achieved in the power of the Lord. Here's the moment. This now. What was this moment? It was the moment when the enemy seemed to be greatest. It's the moment when it seemed to be that every light had gone out. There was no hope here. Moses was standing alone just with Aaron, but he was standing alone. Everybody else had turned against him. But although Pharaoh at first had said he wasn't letting them go, notice what it says here in verse 1. He says, he shall let them go, and with a strong hand shall he, notice the next words, shall he drive them out. You know, Pharaoh was determined they weren't going. But God was determined they were. And God says, not only will he let them go, it says it shall come to a moment that he actually encourage you to go. He'll say, get out. He'll even help you to go. You know, you say, how did that happen, friend? Listen, God can use the wrath of man even to praise him. That's what Psalm 76 tells us. God can even use the wrath of man to praise him. And you know, man thinks that he's in control today. And governments are sitting and they think that they're moving society around like chess, pieces of chess and on a chessboard. I want to tell you this. They're fulfilling God's sovereign purpose and God's sovereign plan. And God has purposed and God has planned that he will bring his children home to victory, in victory and glory to God. He'll do it. There's not a doubt about it. We read in Romans chapter 8, it says, whom he predestined, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and them he also justified, them he also glorified. As far as God was concerned, friend, it was a complete work. It's a complete work. God, through Christ, has completed the work of our redemption. And it's not going to stop until he glorifies us. No matter what the powers of hell say, no matter what the devil may do to try and stop the work of God, I'll tell you, it's going to be done exactly as God said. It says, for with a strong hand, this wasn't a strong hand of Pharaoh, this is the strong hand of God, friend. This was God's hand working in the midst of all the circumstances. And I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 55. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Everything that God has purposed and planned for it, it'll be fulfilled. Doesn't matter what puny man says. Doesn't matter what evil man raises his fist against God Almighty. Turn to chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. Just let us notice this with a strong hand. How God overruled in this whole situation. Look at chapter 12. Go to verse number 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Mark this verse 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he, that's Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. What did God say? He says, he will let you go. He will let you go. Pharaoh says, listen, you're not going. You're not going even to sacrifice in the wilderness. You're not going 3 days into the wilderness. And God says, listen, Moses, it's now time. God says, now he shall. He shall let you go. It's coming for the moment. And it says here that Pharaoh rose up. And they call for Moses and he says, rise and get you forth from my people, both you and the children of Israel. And go! Go serve the Lord! As you have said, also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste. But they weren't for going. Pharaoh said, you're not going. And it says here, listen, I want you to go. Go urgently. Tell me, who was right then? Was God right? Oh, it's Pharaoh right. Pharaoh says, you're not going. God says, he will let you go. Ye shall go. Go back to verse number 1 again, chapter number 6. It says here, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out. And it was fulfilled in chapter 12. And Pharaoh rose up. You see, God, man proposes, but God disposes. And you get your eyes on man and you think because man does things, friend, and man has all these plans against the people of God that somehow that God's work is going to be stopped. I want to tell you, God's work won't be stopped. God says in his word, I will build my church. I will build my church. Not a doubt about that. And God is calling a people out from every nation and land, people and tongues. And God's building, what's he doing? He's building his church. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's the power. It says, then the Lord said unto him, now shalt thou see, notice these words, what I shall do. There's the power, friend. There's not the power of man. Take your burden to the Lord this morning. Have you got decisions to make in your life, friend? Are there plans that you wonder just exactly what you ought to do? Take it to the Lord. Seek the face of God. Bring God into your decision. Bring Him right into the very heart of it. And let God lead you. And let God guide you. Let God show you. And when it will come, listen, when it's God's time, then God says, now. Now. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. There's the power. Secondly, go to verse 2 now. Here's the person. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, that is the great I am, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Here's the person. And once again, God reminds Moses. And don't we have to be constantly reminded of this, friend, just who God is? God constantly reminds us. He says, Moses, I am Jehovah the Lord. And he reminded Moses of exactly who he was, because it was with his strong hand, it was with his strong arm, that the children of Israel would be delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. And he reminds Moses of who he is. And he said, you know, Moses, he said, I appeared unto Abram, to Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. And he said, by the name, my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. Now, listen, it is true that Abraham and that Isaac and Jacob were acquainted with the name Jehovah. They were acquainted. But you see, they were acquainted by Jehovah as one of the names of God. But it was now that God was going to show them what that name Jehovah really meant. And from this time on, whilst it's true that before this they knew of several names of God, and Jehovah was one of them, and Lord, and God Almighty, and Elohim, and all of these names, he was known to Abram, to Isaac, and Jacob. But primarily, from this moment on, he's going to be known as Jehovah to the children of Israel. And God was going to instruct them, and is going to show them what this name really stands for. It was the covenant name. God had entered into a covenant with Abraham, and God had entered into a covenant with Isaac and with Jacob, and now God was going to show them just exactly what this covenant really meant in all its fullness. And he was going to show them in a more wonderful way just exactly this covenant engagement that God had with them, and he was going to show them that this was Jehovah God. And from this time forward, that was the name that they were going to know him by primarily more than ever before. It was God, Jehovah. And the book of the Psalms, in chapter 9 of the book of the Psalms, and there in verse number 10, it says this. And why it's important to understand, it says here, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Whenever they realized who this was, who God is. Remember, that's the question that Pharaoh asked. Who is this Lord that I would obey him? And God's revealing himself unto... You see, the secret of the Lord is with the saints. And God's revealing himself in a most wonderful way that they will understand who this covenant God really is. Because Jehovah, the name Jehovah, underscores God's greatness, God's self-existence, God's power, God's superiority. It's all in this name. And the psalmist says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. How intimate do you know the Lord this morning? How intimate? You know, we sing the hymn sometimes, the wee chorus, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. Do you have that intimate fellowship with the Lord, friend? Do you hear his voice? Do you hear him speaking to you? Yes, there is a covenant relationship in Christ. Thank God that covenant relationship for every redeemed child. But every child of God needs to know what it is, to know what it is to have sweet fellowship with the Lord, and to know in reality who God is. That we might be able to answer if the world asks you this question, what is the reason of the hope that lieth within your breast? Can you honestly answer and tell them just exactly why it is that you are the Lord's child, and how you know Him, and how you love Him, and how you want to serve Him? And they are going to witness the faithfulness of God like they never witnessed it before. And they would know Him by Jehovah God. Jehovah. And there was His person. And God says, I'm going to reveal it. Yes, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew me by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. They did not understand in its fullest sense all what it meant. And those that know His name shall do exploits for Him. Then go to verse 4 and 5. Here we see the performance. For I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Notice in verses 4 and 5 these words. I have. When you come to verse 6 on, it turns from I have to I will. But here we see God's performance. God says, listen, I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. You know what God does? God reviews the covenant. God looks back and He reviews the covenant, the past. And what He's saying here in these verse 4 or 5 is that God's reminding them, God's reminding Moses of what He has already done. What God has already done for him. He said, listen, I have established my covenant to give them the land of Canaan. That covenant has been established in the past. The land of their pilgrimage. And God says, I have also heard the groanings because of their bondage. And God says, I have remembered my covenant. So God's encouraging this child. God says, listen, this is done as far as I have done this. And friend, you and I need to look back over our lives. We were singing the hymn just a moment ago, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Look back over your life. Think of all the blessings that God has already given you. Think of all that God has done for you and through you. And as you see the hand of God, can you not find encouragement this morning that God has blessed you? Remember the days whenever your back was against the wall and it seemed that everything was hopeless. It seemed as if nothing was going to work out. It seemed as if everything was as black as midnight. And then God intervened. And my friend, there arose light in the darkness. And then it became not only just a little small light, but God revealed His plan and God revealed His purpose to you. And you sat back in the end of it. You stood amazed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. And I think of all that He's done for me. And I just say, I can lift up my Ebenezer to God and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. And as I think of what God has done in the past, friend, and how God has entered into that covenant relationship with His people, and God has promised that not only has He predestinated us and them called us and justified us, but in the mind and heart of God, He has glorified us. The work's done. And think of all His leading and guiding. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now there's no doubt about this covenant. Notice it says in verse 4. I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. That's exactly. He said where it was. It's the land of Canaan. There was no doubt. Listen, Canaan wasn't a dream. It was a covenant. It was a promise from God. God promised to give them this particular land. They would make it. God, of course, has promised to give us a land. And that's the land of glory. One day we'll be there. It was D.L. Moody said that whenever he was a young preacher, He said he used to think about heaven, and he thought about heaven as he thought about it. He thought of heaven as a celestial city, and my, he thought about it as a place with angels and all the rest of it. It was a place of strangers. And then he said his brother went home to heaven. And as he thought about heaven as a celestial city and the angels. And yes, there were those whom he didn't know, but there's one that he did. And then he said another brother went home. And then he said the family started to go home to heaven. And then he started to realize that there were quite a number of people there that he knew. And then he said his children started to go home. And his first child, or one of his children, was taken home as a little child, and then a second. And he realized that heaven wasn't a place of strangers. Heaven was a place where loved ones were. And he saw it differently. For heaven was home, where the family of God dwells. Let me tell you, friend, God's not going to stop until he brings us home. And that's a covenant. He has entered into a covenant with his people. And don't you worry. There are times that God knows when we think of ourselves, when we think of our failures and all the rest of it. Listen, if God was relying on me to get me to heaven, friend, I'd never be there. But God, praise God, I'm relying on Jesus to bring me there. And he's a faithful Savior. He says, I have established my covenant to give them the land of Canaan. There's not a doubt, friend. Here's God's covenant. And then notice, secondly, God's care. For verse 5, I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And whenever you think back in your life, friend, can you not see the hand of God and the care of God? God says the very hairs of your head, God says, are all numbered. That's how much he cares for you. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. The Lord not be troubled, mind you, counting some of us, the hairs of some of our heads, but nevertheless, listen, they're all numbered. Somebody said that to a preacher one time, he says, listen, he even knows where the holes were in the first place. So don't worry. There's the care of God, friend. And there's one passage in God's Word always blesses my soul, and that is Matthew chapter 6. God tells us we're not to be bothered and anxious about these things. He said, remember the wee fowls of the air. And God says that he careth for the little sparrow. Your heavenly Father feedeth the little sparrow. Are you not much more valuable than they? And is it not true that God's people get themselves so worked up about things and circumstances? You know, it's even precious to God, friend. Listen. The psalmist says, put thou my tears in thy bottle. They're even in thy book. And I believe there's not even a tear that God's children shed in the trials and troubles and burdens of life, but God bottles them. That's what he says in verse 5. He says, I've heard their groanings. He heard their cries. God's care. God's covenant. God's care. But then notice God's consideration. It says, and I have remembered. There are things that God doesn't remember, friend. In God's sovereign purposes, things God doesn't remember. The Bible tells us, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. And when God's children come to him and claim the covering of the precious blood, the Bible tells us that our sins are covered, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And glory to God, God will never remember your sins anymore. That's the difference about the difference in God. You know, there is a difference between God's conviction. God's conviction and satanic accusation. Because you see, if there is some sin that has been repented of and has been brought to the blood of Jesus and the blood is cleansed, that God says, your sin will I remember no more. God says he puts it into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to remember it against us anymore. He says he puts it into the depths of the sea. And let me tell you, my friend, whenever it comes against you and there's an accusation about a sin that has been repented of and a sin that has been cleansed and put under the blood of Jesus, I want to tell you, that's not Holy Ghost conviction. That's satanic accusation. And there's many a child of God, let me tell you, and the devil is troubling you with satanic accusation because a sin has been fully cleansed, fully pardoned, and God says, I will remember it against you no more. God forgets it. But there are things that God doesn't forget. Praise God, though he forgets my sin, he doesn't forget me. In Psalm 106, it says this, they soon forget his works. And is it not true that we are prone to forget? Go down to verse 21, Psalm 106, verse 21. They forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. How easily we forget. Brother and sister, this morning in Jesus Christ, listen, count your blessings. Don't forget them. Count them. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. My old devil, he will exaggerate your problems. He will exaggerate your difficulties. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And God has said, listen, I want to tell you, Moses, I have remembered my covenant. There's God's consideration. Now notice the next word after that. Wherefore? Wherefore, in the light of this, in the light of this and what I have done, says God, listen, I have entered into a covenant. God says, I have heard your groanings. God says, I have remembered my covenant. In the light of this, wherefore? Wherefore? Say unto the children of Israel. You see, what God does, he encourages his child. He brings them encouragement. And he reminds them of the blessings of the past and all that God has entered in for his people. And so cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. I was traveling down on a train from Penzance to Plymouth and then from Plymouth to Bristol this weekend. I was sitting there and I happened to notice there's a man sitting across there, a young man from New Zealand was sitting and another person from England. And they were entering into conversation and somehow, you know, the boy from England seemed to be very knowledgeable. At least he thought he was knowledgeable because he was speaking out so that everybody could hear him. And I mean, he was a professor. That meant he professed knowledge of everything. And the boy happened to be talking and then he would talk about Northern Ireland. But just before it, the young fellow was sitting beside me. He came into the train. There was only a seat left. And I was sitting there. And the young fellow had a Welsh accent. Young teenager. And he said to me, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Northern Ireland. And he said, I'm from South Wales. And we're sitting there for a little while. And then we heard, in the midst of the conversation of this person across the way, they entered into the conversation about Northern Ireland. And of course, this Englishman, he had all the answers. And he was loudly expounding all the answers. And the wee Welsh fellow was sitting beside me and he started to laugh. He says, I see there's a professor over there. He knows all the answers for your country. And we started to talk. He said, tell me, he said, are you in business? I said, well, listen, actually, I've just finished a gospel video. The young fellow said to me, he says, oh, that's awesome. He says, you know, I'm a Christian. He says, I'm saved. And he says, my girlfriend, just sitting in the seat in front of you, she's saved as well. He said, you know, I said to him, is there many people in your area that are saved? He said, you know, not 0.7% of the people go to church. Not 0.7%. But he said, you know, about 2 years ago, he said, I'm the only one saved in our family. And he said, he was 17 years of age. And I said, there are many young people saved in your district. Well, he said, listen, 2 years ago, he said, I was the first that got saved. And he said, now, he said, there's 30 young people just around me that are saved. And he said, next year, by the grace of God, he says, I'm going into Bible college and I want to serve the Lord. And I said, you know, son, I'm glad that you're sitting there and you know, God has just brought you. I want to tell you this, son. There are no mistakes with God. God's a sovereign God. And even today, you sitting there have been a blessing to me. And as we discussed together, certainly I believe that I was able to be a blessing to him. And you know what we did? We encouraged one another in the Lord. And friend, that's what you need to be. You need to be encouragement. Listen, when you meet up a child of God, friend, do you encourage them in the Lord? Do you encourage one another in the Lord? Are you a Barnabas? That's able. You know, God encouraged his child as everything looked bleak. And God encouraged his child. And God said, listen, I have remembered my covenant. There's God's covenant. Then God said, listen, and listen, remember my care. And God says, listen, I remember God's consideration. I have. Wherefore, in the light of that, God says, this is what I'll do. In the light of who I am, and the covenant that I've already entered into, God says, I will. And you can study this in your own time, friends. Seven I wills. Seven I wills. Look what it says. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Not I might. I will. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give you at you for a heritage. Seven I wills. As far as God was concerned, then, he had blessed his child by remembering what he had already done. But he says to Moses, I'm not finished yet. I have plenty more to give. I have plenty more to do. Count your many blessings. Name them score by score. And it will surprise you, there are millions more. We have a great God this morning. Dear unsaved person, I wish you knew him. I wish you knew what it was to put your hand in the nail-pierced hand of Jesus Christ and trust in the blood that he shed at Calvary. I wish you experienced the peace of God which passeth all understanding, which the world can never give and can never take away. For he gives me peace, even in the midst of the storm. Speaking to a fellow yesterday, in Antrim, he said to me, you know, in 91 I got saved. But he said, sad to say, I walked away from the Lord. I went far from him. But he said, on Thursday night, I come back. And these are the words he said. Oh, Mr. McRae, the peace. The peace within my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace. We thank Thee for Thy lovely Son, who purchased with His precious blood peace with God. We thank Thee that we who were once afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless every head bowed in Your presence. And for those that know not Thy pardon and Thy peace within their soul, O God, I pray in Jesus' name, bring them to Christ even now. Remind them, our God, that life at best, it's very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf that need to be untied. Lord, the leaf could fall this day, this week. And as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. And for the man who dies in his sin, he'll die in his sin and be lost in hell forever. Never to know the peace that only Christ can bring. Save them today. Bless Your people. Encourage us. Help us to get our eyes on Jesus. For Thou art our sovereign covenant Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.